You're listening to the Gordon Damer Show podcast on 98.7 ESPN.
Sports Talk Radio's Iron Horse. Yes, we're off and running on this Wednesday, August 26th. Good morning. This is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. Oh my goodness, so much to do on this Wednesday edition. Of course, you know the deal, people. 1 hour, we run through it all. The number, you know, 1-800-919-ESPN on Twitter, on Instagram, at Gordon Damer. Daily poll question will be up shortly. Today is Wednesday. So what does that mean? You know it. You love it. It means it's headlines. And today is special because first round of headlines in, what, 3 weeks? So Florida man, we check in with him over the last, I mean, we usually have too much stuff in 1 week. Can you imagine all the things that he can get into in 3 weeks? Some wild stuff. He did not disappoint, so we'll get into that. And of course, this is the Gordon Damer Show, which is home to Michael K. Show trivia champion, Gordon Damer. As well as Stump Rothenberg, living legend. Now effective, up to 87% accuracy. Nothing to shake a stick at, folks. So if you're just waking up on this Wednesday morning, it's what, 5:02? I want to let you know, you probably don't know this yet, but some breaking news this morning. Change of plans. Originally today, yes, it's breaking. Originally today was scheduled to be even busier than what it's going to be. Because today was the day that Luka Doncic was slated to be inducted not just into the Basketball Hall of Fame, also have his jersey retired, but also have his name etched in the clouds of the sports pantheon. Now, after Game 5 last night of the Mavs series against the Clippers, those festivities have been rescheduled. We don't know when they're going to be, but 2020 has all been about rescheduling things, cancellations, postponements. So the Luka Doncic celebrity party that was slated to begin, because after all, we all know that while the playoffs are really just getting started, he's the next Larry Bird, right? I mean, we know that, right? After Game 4, Luka is the modern-day Larry Bird. It took 4 games of the playoff. That's it. That's all it took for him. Larry Bird, Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic, Larry Bird. That's all I heard for like 24, 48 hours. And don't get it twisted. He was incredible. An amazing Game 4. As I said, one of the truly memorable moments of this year's playoffs so far, which has had, let's be honest, a few duds. But people, I mean, they always got to take it too far, don't they? I don't know what it seems like people just want to be able to say that they were on board first, that they were the first ones to see it. They saw it coming from a mile away. I've been saying it forever. And Luka Doncic is somebody that I was, you know, at the time, I was hoping that the Knicks would be able to get when the draft was taking place, because I remember reading about him, how, you know, playing in this league, he was playing against men even as a teenager. But, I mean, everybody's got to always go too far. I'm not comparing him to Larry Bird just yet. Not after 1 game, not after 4 games. Let's let it breathe, right? Let's let it come along at its own time. I guess in the words of Larry David, curb your enthusiasm just a little bit. But last night, instead of Larry Legend, he was, Luka Laboring? I don't know. I have to figure out a better. Instead of the Great White Hope, he was the okay white guy playing in basically a hopeless game. Because that game, I always say, NBA games, very rarely does anything important happen in the first half. Last night was the exception because that game at halftime was over. So instead of the hick from French Lick, I better not go down. You get the point, right? You get the point. Big Game 5, Clippers and Mavericks, series tied 2-2. Could the Mavericks do it again? Did Dallas find some cracks in the Clipper D? Could this be the jumping off point, right? Mavericks, things are expected from them, I don't really think this year, but could they arrive earlier than expected? Well, last night, at least, the answer was no. No, the answer was absolutely not. Clippers were up 41-22 after the first quarter, and it was pretty much over. They won it 154-111. So, and Paul George finally showed up last night. He had 9 points total in game four and has been one of the real talking points of the playoffs, his struggles so far. He had, I think, 10 points in the first quarter last night, finished with 32. So after all the Twitter memes, all the internet slander, and if there's nothing that Twitter enjoys more than a good meme and some good old-fashioned internet slander, but he put up a game that you would expect from a star like him, right? Especially after the way that he has struggled. But, you know, he actually said something after the game that I think is getting and probably will get more attention on the different shows throughout the course of today. He said that he actually talked to a psychiatrist before the game, that the bubble, the lack of fans, the, I guess, isolation has started to get to him. So here's Paul George. If you have that clip, Brian, here's Paul George after the game and after the Game 5 win for the Clippers.
It was just a little bit of everything. You know, I underestimated mental health, honestly. I had anxiety, a little bit of depression, just being locked in here. And, you know, I just wasn't there. I checked out. And it was, you know, games 2, 3, 4. I wasn't there. I felt like I wasn't there. But, you know, shout out to the people that was in my corner, the people that gave me the words. Shout out Laura. You know, they helped big time. They helped get me right, put me back in great spirits. I can't thank them enough.
Okay, so he did not mention specifically a psychiatrist in that cut. I do believe that he mentioned it in another cut that I heard earlier this morning. But look, good for him to do that and to say that. It's funny, fans will always want their players to do anything, whatever it takes to win, right? Be ruthless. The Mamba mentality. But all of a sudden, you mention mental health. Ah, this guy, he's so weak. I don't know. I think it takes more strength to not only do that, but then to mention that you did that as well. So I don't know if that's the reason why he played well, but most importantly, he thinks it's the reason why he played well. So whether or not it's real, whether it's not just something that's his, you know, his own mind telling him that that's the reason why he was so much better than he was in the first four games of the series, good for him. And if you want anyone to see the Lakers, I'm kind of in the boat if I want anyone but the Lakers, because I'm sick of the Lakers even after, you know, I know they haven't won recently, but I never want to see them winning. I've seen the Lakers win enough in my lifetime that I could go without ever seeing them win another championship, and that would please me just fine. So if you are in that boat who you want anyone but the Lakers, the list of teams that can actually take them down I think is a lot slimmer, a lot smaller than people think. And I think the top team on that list is the Clippers, so a Game 5 win up 3-2 is probably good news. Now, as for the Mavericks, Luka last night, as I mentioned, the parade has been canceled for today. The ceremonies, the unveiling of the statue, all those things have been postponed. We don't know until when. I'm sure at some point down the road those things will happen, but they've been postponed for now. Luka last night, 22-8-4, and the combination of Luka and Kristaps Porzingis, the dynamic duo, if you will, of the Dallas Mavs, if you combine their numbers, they add up to 22-8-4. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. So that's one story this morning, the big Game 5 last night. Then the other story you have, a little closer to home, obviously not going to involve the NBA playoffs, you have Joe Judge, the New York Giants head football coach, who seems like he's come right out of central casting for a football coach. Less than 3 weeks until the season begins. And I would you would have to say that already Joe Judge and his approach, his coaching style, has already garnered more hot takes than either Ben McAdoo or Pat Shurmur. McAdoo led in terms of appearance, right? I don't think Shermer led in anything in terms of any hot takes about Pat. Coming up with hot takes about Pat Shermer was pretty hard to do. But not generally the thing you want to lead the league in, right? That, but I guess you take what you can get, right? Because the last 3 years, the Giants' season has been over almost as soon as it began. So any enthusiasm you can have is good. But coming up, let's get into Joe Judge a little bit, because he has been a hot topic with, you know, people comparing him to Bill Parcells, his style, his approach, Tom Coughlin. Obviously, the Bill Belichick comparisons are going to be there. And then you have the other side of things that have compared him to almost some, like, overzealous high school coach with, you know, having guys run laps, having guys, I don't know if it was doing push-ups, taking the names off the back of the jerseys for practice and all these different types of style and techniques that he's using. And that has certainly gotten a lot of attention. And there's two sides to it. So that's going to be the poll question for today. It'll be going up momentarily on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. What is your reaction to Joe Judge's approach with his team? What do you think of his style so far? Is it A, and I'm only giving you two, I'm not going to give you four so you can kind of hedge your bet. A, it's just good old-fashioned football discipline, hard-nosed football coach. It's all about getting in the work and driving guys hard. Or is it overzealous junior high school football coach? Which is it? What's your take on Joe Judge and some of the techniques that he is using in his time during training camp? That's the poll question. It'll be going up shortly on Twitter. You know, sometimes you hear things, and you gotta almost go back and make sure that you heard it right. So during the break there, we played a clip from Jay Williams, part of the new morning show here on 98.7 FM, ESPN New York, along with Key, Sean, and Zubin. Just, Brian, do you have that clip where he's talking about the Brooklyn Nets? I didn't plan on doing any Brooklyn Nets coverage today. I mean, we rang out the sponge yesterday in terms of the Brooklyn Nets. But do you have that clip? I want to make sure I heard that correctly.
I have the clip.
Can you play that?
Here we go.
I have had a conversation with Sean Marks, and I kind of floated the name Greg Popovich out there, and he kind of laughed at it and said, you know, let's talk about things that are reasonable. But if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, let's be factual about this. You have two entities on this team in KD and Kyrie, which the one question people have for next year is, how's this roller coaster ride going to go? Obviously, there's a lot of talk that things have happened with Kyrie and things of that sort. So who are the best coaching candidates out there for these two individuals? I would say 1A, Greg Popovich, 1B, Ty Lue. That's it.
Wait, whoa. Greg Popovich and Ty Lue are in the same sentence? He doesn't even get a different number. He's in this 1A, 1B. Shouldn't it be I don't think they're going to get Greg Popovich. You probably don't think they're going to get Greg Popovich. But of course, if there's any slight crack to possibly land Greg Popovich, one of the great all-time head coaches, of course. But I don't know. It feels like that's I never thought I'd live a day to see that Ty Lue was in the same breath as Greg Popovich. Wow. Who knew? All right. It's the Gordon Damer Show. I'm already wasting time here. I already told you. We have way too much stuff to do. Like the poll question, which is up for today on Twitter, at Gordon Damer, all about Joe Judge and his, I guess you would say, coaching style, although he's not coached a game as of yet. And as I said to Debbie there before, Joe Judge probably has the most uniquely difficult job, I would think, at least in recent NFL coaching history. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody who dealt with something even greater than him. He's never been an NFL head coach before. He's never been a head coach anywhere before. He takes over a team in 2020 and all that that entails, right? With the offseason limitations, training camp limitations, this thing, that thing, all the uncertainty, the pandemic. He's got a quarterback who's coming into year two where he's got to take this big step forward, at least you hope. New coaching staff, new playbook, And oh yeah, by the way, he's taking over a team that's been hot garbage for the last 3 years. So yeah, I think you have to view this season for Joe Judge through that prism. Yes, you want to see strides taken forward. You want to see improvement in terms of the team and certainly in terms of the wins and losses, right? It wouldn't be hard to do that. But I think that at least in this first year for Joe Judge, you got to give him a little room to operate, right? You got to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to a certain degree. Whatever mindset or culture he's trying to build is largely, I get it, it's going to be built on results. And are the results better than they have been? Because if they're not, boy, oh boy, it really doesn't matter what your style is, people are going to hate it. So Joe Judge has gotten a lot of attention, and there's a lot of stories, and I'm sure it's going to be a big focus today here on the station and basically everywhere, that his style, very hard-nosed, prototypical. What when you go to Central Casting talking about a football coach, it was like that when he was introduced at his press conference. It's like that now. Making guys run laps in practice when they make a mistake. Almost coming off as right out of the Bill Belichick clone playbook, right? Taking the names off the practice jerseys. And it's gotten a lot of attention. And one of the things that has gotten a lot of attention is guys who have played in the league are pointing out how that stuff wears thin on players, that you can't coach that style anymore, that players are going to get fed up and sick of it very, very quickly, and that approach just simply does not work with the modern player. And that there's other people, especially fans, who feel like, you know what, it's just old school. We got to get back to the days of not coddling players, not hugging players. We got to get back to hard-nosed football. So I will say this. I've seen some things that will make me roll my eyes, right? Like taking the names off the practice jerseys or making the guys run laps. It does kind of come off as a Bill Belichick clone. And we've seen in the past that just because you've had success in New England with that style, with Bill Belichick running it, not a lot of guys who have had, very few have been able to replicate that success outside of that. Mike Vrabel is really the only guy who you can tie to Bill Belichick's coaching tree that's had any real success. I know people bring up Brian Flores. I think people are getting a little carried away with that too. So I've seen some things, I will say, granted, they make me roll my eyes a little bit, but it will go back to that first point that I think Joe Judge, given all that he's dealing with, I think you got to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Now, I've seen other things that I thought are, no question, good ideas. I don't know if other people saw this, but I can't remember. Maybe it was Matt Lombardo. I'm not sure who brought this up. But during practice, someone noticed that the defensive backs had tennis balls taped to their hands. And Joe Judge was asked about it, and he said that they had a lot of issues with holding in the secondary. So if you tape the ball to the guy's hand, it's going to be more difficult. I think that's a great idea. I think the overall reaction to Joe Judge has been completely overblown. Having guys run a lap after making a mistake or do a couple of push-ups, it's not exactly like he's running the Junction Boys, right? It's not exactly Stalag 17. I've seen nothing, read nothing, that makes it seem like this guy is way over the top or that players are already bristling at his approach to coaching the team. Now, over time, that could certainly be the case. But that's only going to be the case if the Giants don't win. And if the Giants don't win more than they have over the last 3 years for sure, you have to see some improvement in a short period of time. Well, if they don't have any improvement over a short period of time, there's no approach that anyone is going to like. Football players, former football players, media, fans, if it stays the same, well then, yeah, Joe Judge is going to come get down and he's going to get hammered. Now, I think that you do have to give him, you know, a little bit of a wide berth this year. Give him the benefit of the doubt because it's his first year and there's a lot he's taking in. That does not mean I think you have to give him a pass on everything. Because the latest little piece of info that people kind of saw and had a reaction to came up yesterday. And it was Matt Lombardo of NJ.com who tweeted out that Joe Judge is toying with the idea of taking Daniel Jones's red jersey off to, quote, pop his pads a little bit before the season opener. He went on to say that they aren't going to throw him into a Royal Rumble or anything like that. They'll be smart about getting him some hits in the absence of the preseason. Again, people hear that, and I think some, because the Giants have been so bad, and Joe Judge's approach, there are strong reactions to it, they think that he's all of a sudden, Daniel Jones, going to be getting hammered repeatedly in practice. I don't think that that's going to be the case. That said, I think that's a terrible idea. I think that's a terrible, because you know, all it takes is one hit. One hit in the wrong way. Now, could that hit come in the regular season? Sure, of course. Could it come from another team? Absolutely. So, but at least then, there's nothing you can do to prevent that. And I think it really comes back to the risk versus the reward. And the reward, I think Daniel Jones has probably been playing football and getting hit playing football since probably the age of 7 or 8. So I don't think that he needs, oh, that's what it's like to get hit. Right. I think the reward is pretty minimal. I think that if he does not get hit at all before the regular season, week one, and then gets out there week one and gets bounced around a little bit, I don't think that it's going to come to as a shock to his system. So the reward, I think, is pretty minimal. And the risk, while it might be small in terms of the possibility of something bad really happening, it also has the possibility of completely ruining your season even before it begins, and is one that is completely avoidable. So I think that this is, you know, Joe Judge has never been a head coach before, so it was important to put together this staff that had people who have been through it before. So be it Jason Garrett or be it Freddie Kitchens or whoever else, who can go to him and say, hey, you know what? This is a really bad idea. I think that that is what needs to be said the approach that needs to be taken. I think that all of a sudden throwing Daniel Jones out there and having him take a few hits, because we've seen it plenty of times. I know there's no preseason this year, but we've seen it plenty of times of guys taking a hit in the preseason, and all of a sudden their season may not be over, but it will be delayed, and there's nothing that will impact your wins and losses more than losing your starting quarterback even before the season begins. So if there's any real possibility of that, I think that that would be a really bad idea for Joe Judge to go down. But in terms of the poll question today, Joe Judge, his approach so far, I would, if I had a vote, I would say good old-fashioned football discipline. Like, the Giants need to get back to a little, you know, it is football at the end of the day. And I get it. Some of the things will make you roll your eyes about, you know, what are we dealing with here? I mean, these are professional football players. But I think that they have gotten a little bit lax. And they could certainly, if you're going to err on the side of one or the other, too much discipline, I think, would be better than too little. So if I had a vote in the poll question, I would say good old-fashioned football discipline is his approach rather than being the overzealous high school football coach that some people have portrayed him as.
Nothing at two. And the pitch to Gonzalez. Line shot into right, coming in his angle. He's got the ball. And this one's over. And Lucas Giolito has thrown a no-hitter here at Guaranteed Rate Field. August 25th of 2020, Lucas Giolito no-hits the Pirates.
All right, so your moment of inspiration for this Wednesday morning, Lucas Giolito and the White Sox with the no-hitter last night. But, of course, today is Wednesday, and while the show's been off for the last couple of Wednesdays, you know that Wednesday means one thing. No, not that you're at the middle of the week. It means that during the third segment of the Gordon Damer Show, it's time for headlines.
Today's headlines.
Extra, extra.
Oh, and so many headlines while I was away. Really had to edit them down to get them all into one segment. Although, I mean, if I took all the headlines, the whole show would have been headlines, which might not actually be a bad idea. But all right, let's start it off. First headline. shark that killed New York City woman confirmed as a great white. And most importantly, this is the real key, the kicker of the headline. It's still out there.
Extra, extra.
Well, of course it's still out there. It's a shark. As we all have seen, the movie we have all seen the most, Jaws, tells you, until you catch the shark is not going to turn himself in. He's not going to turn himself into the Coast Guard. So, yes, the shark is still very much out there. So, until you catch him, he's probably going to still be a problem.
Extra, extra.
Dozens of nudists test positive for coronavirus at French Colony. Yeah, guessing the nudist colony is not exactly even worse than Florida in terms of the mask wearing. I would think that mask wearing at the nudist colony probably is not a high priority. And guessing that, of course, the coronavirus probably not the only thing those people caught.
Extra, extra.
Woman declared dead, found alive inside Detroit funeral home. Well, you know, we've all had bad days at our job, but look at on the bright side. A little Wednesday wisdom. No matter how bad you've done your job, chances are you have not declared someone dead who has actually been found alive. Now, the good news is the hospital plans to go with the oopsie-daisy defense. Very popular in the courts these days, the oopsie-daisy defense.
Extra, extra.
8-year-old boy becomes the youngest person ever to solo pilot a hot air balloon. What year is this? Is this 18? We're not traveling by hot air balloon anymore. It's very impressive that the 8-year-old, I guess, has piloted the hot air balloon. I mean, what year are we living in anymore? That would be like, hey, this is the, you know, the first person to travel by Zeppelin. I mean, it's not really all that important anymore. Maybe the parents of the 8-year-old should focus his energies on something a little bit more, 2020.
Extra, extra.
All right, this week in Florida Man, I mean, the amount of Florida Man stories that we had, very, very difficult to wind them down. But here we go. All right, let's get ready to run here because we're already running late in the show, running late in the segment. It happens every day at the same time. You think I'd learn. This week in Florida Man. Florida man arrested after stealing lottery tickets. You're thinking to yourself, Gordon, how did they catch this guy? Well, he tried to redeem a winning ticket at the same store he stole the tickets from.
Extra, extra.
Generally, if you're going to steal lottery tickets, at least take them to another store. I think it was like a 30. It wasn't even like a $5,000 winner. It was like a $30 winner. Obviously, that was not a good plan. Florida man arrested after living in luxury suite at soccer stadium.
Extra, extra.
Well, look, the guy is down on his luck, right? He's looking for a place to stay, and he's willing to be, I guess the good news for him was at least there was no soccer going on at the time. He'd be bored out of his mind. Next story.
Extra, extra.
Florida man arrested for DUI on his lawnmower. You think, well, a DUI while cutting your lawn. No, he was on the highway at the time.
Extra, extra.
Florida man arrested with drugs in his pockets claims the pants he was wearing were a gift from someone passing by.
Extra, extra.
How many times is that? I mean, that has happened to us all, right? You're just standing, minding your own business. Somebody, a random person you don't know, comes passing by, hands you a pair of pants. You put on the pants, and it turns out there's drugs. I mean, that story is as old as time. Finding out you have drugs in the pants that you were given by some random stranger. Happens every day. Florida man arrested after attacking 7-Eleven employee with a Slurpee.
Extra, extra.
Florida woman accused of urinating on her husband on a flight.
Extra, extra.
Three Florida men arrested and charged with crime spree, that is. They were caught because all three were already wearing electronic monitors, which gave the police their exact locations.
Extra, extra.
Now, I'm not sure if one of those three guys is also the guy that stole the lottery tickets and then tried to cash them in at the store he stole them from. But finally, I think my favorite story from Florida this week, Florida woman arrested after punching her father for farting too much.
Extra, extra.
And that's going to do it for Florida Man. That's going to do it for headlines for this Wednesday morning. It is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. We've been talking about a lot of things this morning, and our poll question is focused on Joe Judge, who I'm sure is going to be a large focus on all of the shows today. We always like to try to, you know, being the first show of the morning, we like to try to hit whatever the big topics are going to be throughout the day, and I think that Joe Judge certainly is going to be center stage today as we get a little closer to football and just some of the stories about his approach to coaching the team, and that's our poll question today. What do you think of his style so far? Good old-fashioned football discipline or overzealous high school football coach? You can vote on the poll question. It's up on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. And we'll get your phone calls involved in just one sec. But I did want to kind of touch on the Mets because they were trending, as I said this morning. And that's it's usually not, hey, what a great win by the Mets. When you see the Mets trending, it's usually like, oh, Jesus, what now? You know what I mean? It's much more along that trend line. So I will say this. This baseball season, if you didn't know it already, is a complete joke. There is no other way to put it. It's a complete farce. The Yankees are now playing three doubleheaders in the next 7 days. And keep in mind, those doubleheaders will be of the seven-inning variety. If they go to the eighth inning, they'll be with a runner at second. I mean, it's just, I get it. It's the best they can do. But at the end of the day, if you're just bottom lining it, which we like to do, the bottom line is that this baseball season is a complete farce. That said, what an embarrassment this year has been for the New York Mets. They are a half a game out of last place in the worst division in baseball. They never get a big hit. Never. Highlight. Never say never. No, never. Last night, they were 0-15 with runners in scoring position. They lost two games, both games of a doubleheader to the Marlins at home. I know they were the road team in the set. They were at home and did so without scoring a run. If that ain't rock bottom, man. Boy, oh boy, I don't know what is. They left 19 men on base. 19 men. And keep in mind, if the Mets were going to be good this year, and I actually had some optimism for them, I was looking at the preseason projections, I thought, you know what? They're going to be able to score runs. I think that they have the highest batting average in baseball in terms of a team. And yet they are 30th. In terms of run score, I mean, it's amazing how they never get a big hit. You figure, well, they got to break out eventually. No, apparently they don't. I'm so glad they took Seth Lugo out of the bullpen so he could pitch three innings last night. I think the best news you got this week was that story about that Brody is not expected to make any splashes before the trade deadline. I'm not giving up on the year. I think even now the Mets are projected about 50-50 odds of making the playoffs. I mean, geez, they're going to have to turn things around here before too long, right? It's getting late early. But that news that Brody's not expected to make any big usually you want your team to make a big splash before the trade deadline. I saw that story, and I thought if I were a Met fan, I'd be thinking to myself, thank God, because his splashes are like when the fat guy jumps off the diving board. Usually you want your team to go for it. Not with him. I feel like he'll only make things worse. Maybe the best news of all is that you got 5 days until those final bids are due. And then before then, maybe, I don't know, the team might actually get a big hit when guys are on base in a game. You lost two games to the Marlins at home and didn't score a run. My God. How could it get any worse than that? 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Also, we were talking about the Joe Judge thing. I did want to play because there's been a lot of people taking shots, especially in, it seems like fans are cool with Joe Judge. They like football, you know, they like that approach and all these type of things. Obviously, they have to win games. There's no approach that if they don't win games, doesn't matter how, he could be hugging the players. No matter what the approach is, if you don't win, people are going to say it's the wrong approach. But a lot of people in the media have kind of taken shots at Joe Judge. And one of them, not to pick on him, but he was on the Michael Kay Show yesterday. He's great on all the shows that he does, is Marcus Spears. And he was asked about Joe Judge's coaching style. Here's Marcus Spears.
Yeah, you got to be careful not to lose them. It's a fine line. Look, fellas, I came in and Bill Parcells was the head coach who was ingrained in his way, and as a rookie, it was hell. Getting through that first training camp, through them rookie mini camps. But you understood that that level of success that he had, that is the mechanism that he used in order to get the best out of his players, the stories of running players and doing all that. So I say all that to say Joe Judge got to be very careful. If the team respects the fact that he's disciplined in a way that's going to turn into them having success and win, then guys will give you a little bit more leeway. But if we don't have success, if this doesn't translate into us being a better football team and you got these long meetings and you extending practices and you making us run for things like that, and it doesn't translate to win and being better, you lose guys anyway, right? We always talk about it. Winning is the cure-all to everything. It's a lot of things that are covered up when you win it.
Okay, and look, I don't necessarily disagree with anything that Mark has said there, but I'll just go back to the original point. It's not like he's running the Junction Boys out in East Rutherford, you know what I mean? It's not like, he's denying guys water and they're running for day. You know, he's having them take a lap when they screw something up. And it wasn't like that the previous regime's discipline style was all that successful. So maybe getting back to a little old-school football mentality, a little hard note, maybe it's the right thing. And, you know, the name Bill Parcells will come up a lot. You know, you can't coach like Bill Parcells. But if Bill Parcells was coaching now, he'd have to change his style. You know, the first year that Bill Parcells was the coach, it's been pretty well documented. It did not go well. He was worried he was going to get fired. And he said to himself, you know what? If I get another chance next year, I'm not holding back. I'm going to be me from jump. And I'm going to do things my way. And it obviously turned around. So I would say to Joe Judge, I would guess that this is just his personality. It's not just simply that he's coaching, you know, he's copying the Bill Belichick playbook, that this is him. So I would say, you know, not for long, NFL, that's what it stands for. I would say that whatever he thinks is the best approach, that he should be going with that full bore. And that seems like what his approach has been. Again, you could overdo everything. And I would say that if he's, you know, making guys, run miles and miles after practice, okay, fine. If he's losing the players by making them do a lap after making a mistake, maybe those guys weren't reachable to begin with. And I think that's been a large part of the problem with the Giants is not so much the approach or the discipline or this thing or that thing. They've not been a very good team. They've not been very talented. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Let's get some phone calls involved. We'll start things off with Dan in Kingsburg. Dan, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Gordon. I love your show. First-time caller.
Thanks, man.
I was just pointing out that since this is not a normal season, this would be week three in the preseason, and Daniel Jones would be taking hits at this point in time. So I think if Joe Judge is going to take off the red shirt, it's actually a good time to do it at this point in the preseason.
Look, I mean, it's not like he would be playing all that much in the preseason anyway. I just look at the risk versus the reward. It's not like Daniel Jones has forgotten how to get hit in a football. I just find that very hard to believe. And the potential, not that it's a great high number, of him getting hurt or missing time as a result of that. I get that. I just don't see what the reward is. Like, did he forget how to get hit?
Last year he did have, 20 fumbles or something?
Working on the fumbles, whatever drill he's got to come up with, whatever, you know, absolutely. That's the number one, two, and three thing on his list in terms of improvement for year two. If Daniel Jones can just take care of that problem alone, he will take a massive step forward in what was already a pretty impressive rookie year for him. So I get that. Yeah, no, I mean, I want him to improve the fumbles, but I don't know. You know, a lot of times it wasn't even that he was getting hit and he was fumbling the ball.
Yeah, you're right. And I don't think that even if he were to get hit in practice, it's going to be anything severe. I think Joe Judge knows not to hit him too much, you know? So
yeah, I mean, again, you're right. I think a lot of people, Dan, and Dan, thanks for the call. I think a lot of people react to the headline, right? Like, I don't get the sense that it's a lot of people that are out at camp and watching the way things are taking place. You know, you see the headline, well, Joe Judge has, the taking the names off the back of the jersey or making a guy run an extra lap when he makes a mistake. I think when you see that, and it's tied into the fact that he coached in New England, it's a very popular talking point. Oh, he's just trying to be like Bill Belichick. And I'll grant, I grant you that he does, you know, in terms of the first press conference that he had, it did seem a little bit over the top in terms of, you know, central casting of the football coach. But I think that people are getting a little carried away with a lot of things. And maybe, you know, getting him to take a hit or two in practice, maybe that's the type of thing too, because I don't think, again, I don't think he's going to have him, you know, guys just hammering him time and time again. And I think that people are getting a little overblown with the reaction to some of the things that Joe Judge does. I just say, you know, the running of laps or the other things that he's doing to kind of maybe instill a mindset in his players, I don't really see any real risk there, right? Like having a guy run an extra lap in practice, yeah, I guess it could kind of, over time, if there's not an improvement in the results, yeah, maybe guys are like, you know, what's this guy's deal here if he's continuing to do this? Or if he ratchets things up when the team is not doing well, right? Like if he changes his approach and becomes even more strict and even more disciplinarian as the season goes along. I could see that being a problem. But at least in the terms of the I think people are getting a little carried away. And Not the fans. The fans love it. I mean, you look on Twitter, you listen to the shows when they hear about, you know, Bill Parcells or Tom Coughlin. I would say the only thing, you know, Tom Coughlin took it to such an extreme that he really didn't have the success with the Giants that he would go on to have until the players told him, look, you gotta relax a little bit. And he took a little bit of a step back. And I think that that obviously helped to improve his relationship with the team, and that's important. I'm not saying that you can run it as a drill sergeant anymore. I just haven't seen anything that would make me say that the Joe Judge is running things as a drill sergeant. I haven't seen, you know, anything like that. Just because he's making a guy do an extra lap or something like that. In terms of the Yankees, are we finally going to play a game tonight? Is it going to get up to a point where the Yankees are just going to play doubleheaders from now until the end of the season? I mean, it's the best that they can do. They should absolutely be looking to come up with some sort of bubble idea for the postseason. I know the players won't like it. I'm sure they'll have some pushback there. I mean, how can you have a baseball season where teams are playing doubleheaders every other day? I think now, what is it? The Yankees have 35 games to play in 33 days? Is that because it was 35 and 34 yesterday, so now it's 35 and 33. Hopefully there's no rain in Atlanta tonight. It'll be 35 and 25 before too long. Doubleheaders every day. For the old school baseball fan, nothing but doubleheaders from now until kingdom come. What a great season this has been. What an amazing, amazing year. All right, it's going to do it for us for already. We're out of time. It's the headlines. The headlines eats up too much time. That darn Florida man. He's just so, he's all over the place. But please, vote on the poll question. It's up on Twitter. It's at Gordon Damer, all about Joe Judge. We will be back tomorrow, hopefully, to recap a Yankee baseball. I mean, I've been away, so it's been even longer. But it feels like it's been a month since the Yankees played. It has been such a long time since the Yankees played and we can actually break down a Yankee game. So maybe we'll actually be able to do that tomorrow. And what will happen first? Will the Yankees play a game or will the Mets score a run against the Marlins? We'll find out tomorrow. We'll see you then. 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.